Welcome to a new episode of the Bees and Honey podcast. Today I'll be speaking with Deborah Osterpanel, who is the general manager of C24 Gallery here in Chelsea's Art District in New York City. And C24 has been around since 2011, and their programming continues to evolve quite beautifully. And Deborah tells us a little bit about the history of the gallery, about their plans for the future, and about their current exhibition. I hope you enjoy this episode. So here we are today, Deborah, sitting in the gallery that you manage, C24 Gallery.
Yeah.
And how long have you been with C24?
So I've been here about 3.5 years, and I've been managing for 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah. You've seen a lot of changes in the gallery. I know it's been around for about 11 years.
Yeah, 11, 12 years. The gallery used to be down the block on the other side of 24th Street, and we moved into this space about 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or I should say they, because I wasn't here then.
Right.
We got a new... So our director started here 4 years ago, and he became the actual director of the gallery around 3 years ago when I became the manager.
Okay, who is that?
That's David Terry.
Okay, yeah. I haven't met him, but...
Yeah, David's great. David used to be the director of grants at New York Foundation for the Arts for about 16 years. So he has a really deep nonprofit arts background, and he's also done a lot of curation, and he's a conceptual artist himself, sculptor. So he's done a lot of work in the States, internationally, and now he splits his time between New York and Berlin. So that kind of helps us with the whole German cultural connection.
I mean, you can't really beat that. And he's American. Amazing.
Yeah, originally from the D.C. area.
I love that he's been able to do that, because it's been a dream of mine since my youth, which has never materialized. I've spent extended periods of time there, but never like actually got an apartment and made the even bi-coastal move.
Yeah, I've never been to Berlin, and I must get there. And now we have so many friends there, so it'll happen eventually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it used to be. I don't know what it is like now with the dollar supposedly so strong. It's probably even as cheap as it used to be. But it used to be one of the least expensive cities, and that's why the artists were flocking there.
Oh, yeah.
That's why.
Well, also, the funding for the arts has been traditionally so strong in Europe, but I hear it's changing now because of the war between COVID and the war in Ukraine. Things have started to change, unfortunately.
Exactly.
That's a whole other subject.
I was just about to say, yeah, that would take us on another like 2 hour.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to the gallery. And just, you already answered one of my questions. When I looked online, it mentioned a few partners that were involved, and also the presence in Berlin and Istanbul.
Yes.
Yeah, what is that connection with Istanbul, for example?
So two of our owners live in Istanbul, and our other owner lives here in New York City. So we do have a presence in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
One of our artists is in Istanbul, Irfan Onerman. He's actually been with the gallery since its inception. He's had 5 solo shows here over the years.
Wow.
And he's a regular presence at Contemporary Istanbul, where he'll be showing in September.
Oh, so that's the...
That's the other question.
Yes. So that's the next fair for you guys.
Yeah, that one. And we'll also be doing Art on Paper. Here in New York during Armory Week.
Right, so it's next year sometime.
No, it's actually, they changed it.
To September.
September.
Oh,
September
okay,
8th
okay.
to 11th,
yeah,
is that
yeah.
fair?
Yeah. Wow, so that's actually a lot coming up now that I think about it.
It's a lot. September's going to be a huge month for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be big. We also have an artist that we've worked with before who's from Berlin, a photographer named Sven Markart.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming to the States in September. He'll be doing a residency. Shooting portraits of residents in different neighborhoods mm-hmm. around the city, and that's in partnership with the Goethe Institute.
Oh, that's cool.
Which goes to one of your other questions that I know
mm-hmm.
you had mentioned to me, which is, we do have partner relationships with a number of German cultural organizations.
Right.
But we've worked with other organizations too, like Field Projects
mm-hmm.
and... what's the one in the Discerning Eye exhibition in London. We brought selections from their collection over a few years back. Wow. But we've been working closely with the German consulate here in New York and Goethe, and also Deutsches Haus at NYU,
yes.
DAAD. They're all sort of part of this German cultural circuit. It's pretty fun.
I think, you know, I love having this aspect of the conversation because it takes me back to my own roots in art, which are nonprofit, Chelsea, and German. I mean, that's another story right there.
Oh my gosh, yeah, such a coincidence.
Yeah, and I really, all those places I've known and worked with in the past. I mean, I went very often to Deutsches Haus when I was at NYU.
Right.
And it's good to know that they're still around and they're still doing good work.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize there was such a heavy German-American circuit, but it's pretty big. Goethe Institute just did a big exhibition. It's still going at the Knockdown Center in Maspeth, right by Bushwick.
Okay.
And it's about the topic. I forget the exact name of the exhibition, but it's about techno culture, techno music and techno culture.
Wow.
And they've had a whole series of programming going on there. And
it kind of fits in with the artist you're showing in September then.
Yes.
What's his name? Sven.
Sven Markart. Yes. Yeah. He's a very well-known photographer from Berlin, and he's also very well-known as a bouncer. He's one of Germany's and perhaps Europe's most famous bouncers.
Wow.
For Club Berghain.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really bringing back memories now.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and there's a documentary called Berlin Bouncer that focuses on him and two other guys who were well-known club bouncers in the city. And and there's another documentary that focuses just on Sven and his early photographic career. He's from East Berlin originally, and back in the 80s, he was documenting the whole punk scene and all of that. And then when the wall came down, of course, he came across and started doing all this other stuff. But that's a documentary that focuses on two of his earliest muses who he photographed a lot and what they were doing then and what they're doing now. And
right.
We're going to be showing that. I believe we have a screening of that coming up at Goethe Institute on the 4th. Of October, Sven is here, because he'll be here for his residency, and then our next exhibition is going to feature him, a collection of his photographs that he did at the very beginning of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
It was an exhibition called Stageless that was being shown at the Friedrichstadt Palast, and then it had to get closed because of COVID.
Yeah,
and it's a selection of portraits of dancers and other performers right after they come off stage.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them, they're sweaty and their makeup's running, and they're all but like heightened, you know, because
they've just
come off
from
performing. So we're going to bring selections from that collection here. I believe we're going to be calling it Stageless Second Act. So that'll be downstairs in our atrium space. And then upstairs we have an artist also from Germany named Marion Fink, who does these beautiful life-size monoprints of portraits of young people and with different symbols. They're kind of surreal, but they've got like 15, 20 layers of color in them.
Wow.
They're pretty remarkable. And that'll be her first solo show with us, so that'll be very exciting.
That's cool, too. So now that we've fast-forwarded to the future,
let's come back
to the present. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So tell us about this young lady who's working with upstairs.
Yeah, so Ryan Sarah Murphy is the artist that's on view upstairs, and Ryan's a New York-based artist. And we first showed her work a while back as part of a group show where we only showed her cardboard pieces. So they're made from found cardboard in the streets of New York. She finds them all over the street. And when you see them, they're very multicolored. That's the color that the cardboard is when she finds them. And she basically takes the pieces, she tears off any logos or writing, and then she uses those pieces to create these multi-leveled constructions that sort of look a lot like maps or architectural renderings or just abstract, maybe overhead views of locations. Yes. Architects go crazy over this work. I can't, just today we had somebody who's an architect, architecture professor. I mean, we're always getting people, because it just looks like that. When
you see the pieces, you'll see.
So, and then, but she works in several mediums. Mm-hmm. So we have a collection of her short videos, which are like little animated paintings. And some of them, she sort of takes them off of her three-dimensional cardboard pieces. But some of them, she starts with footage of random things like potatoes boiling or an escalator or traffic or something. And then she does a lot to digitize and color and play with the images. And then she'll take a still from the video, one of the videos, and then she uses that as the basis for a tracing that then becomes one of her works on paper that's colored. So all three mediums are kind of...
Feeding each other.
It's a process that's very kind of holistic. And but I have to say, the works, they're pretty wonderful, and they have such an energy to them that is surprising. When you talk about it, you don't imagine that it will have...
It's so popping. Yeah,
yeah, but it really does. She's got such a way with color, the palettes that she uses. She really... Something. She's really onto something.
And she's here until when?
That exhibition is here until the end of September.
Yes.
It's actually the end of the third week of September.
Right. So about a month still.
Yeah.
And then down here, it's a group of artists you mentioned, like.
So here we have a kind of a survey of five of our artists that we represent. There's Roxa Smith, who is of Venezuelan descent, and she used to be a plein air landscape artist out in California for many years. She grew up in Venezuela, but then she moved to California. When she moved to New York, where she's been for decades, exterior landscapes is not our big thing here in the city. So
right.
A lot of interiors and a lot of lush gardens and plants and sort of references to her home in South America, but also she's of mixed descent, so she has I forget, it's her father or her mother, one side of her family is American, like all the way back to the Mayflower.
Wow.
So I'm just learning this part her history and her culture that she brings to bear in her work. So some of her pieces, I don't think, not the ones we have here, but she has a whole series where she focuses on chairs as kind of a symbol for family and heritage, and she styles them in many different ways. And she did a whole series during COVID that sort of documented her experience during lockdown. Some of those pieces, I don't know if the chair ones will be shown, but we are going to be showing some of her work at Art on Paper as well.
Right.
So Roxa is one. Then we have some ceramic works, two ceramic artists. One is Tammy Rubin, who's based in Texas, and she does these wonderful slip cast porcelain pieces that she slip cast over sort of everyday objects to create these kind of somewhat sacred looking or totemic objects with a lot of detail on them. People want to touch them.
Delicious.
Very tactile. Yeah, you want to lick them or touch them. And then we have ceramic works by Brendan Tang, who's based in Vancouver. And Brendan is of mixed Asian descent, and you can see in his sculptures he's playing with two elements. One is kind of Chinese Ming Dynasty style vases, and the other is like anime and manga inspired robotics and technology. And this really interesting mashup of the two. So he is I'm just getting distracted.
I know. I love it. They're performing.
People come in here, I think our gallery is very Instagram friendly.
I think most of them are at this point.
But you know, we're pretty friendly to folks, so people come and do impromptu photo shoots.
Yes, as long as they don't hurt anything or themselves.
As long as nobody gets hurt in the process, we're fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Brendan's ceramic works, and then we have a series of collage paintings by a local artist named Cheryl Molnar. Cheryl's originally from Long Island and grew up between Long Island and the West Coast, where she had family in Southern California. And so she does these really interesting, very surreal landscapes that kind of combine elements from both coasts and also other dimensions, things that are a little bit more abstract and
yes.
have like a futuristic feel almost, mm-hmm. digital quality. These are her newest pieces, and they're just, you can see the round pieces, they're very different than that other ones she's yeah. done. And then finally we have some constructions by Irfan Onurman, our Turkish artist, and they're made from layers of tulle, white, black and white tulle that he cuts and sews together to make these portraits. And Irfan is quite prolific. He's a painter and yeah. a sculptor, but his tulle works are very unique. Nobody who's seen them. He was at our last solo exhibition. Mm-hmm. We had some of the pieces were 20 feet tall, like just giant monochromatic works. And the way he layers them gives dimension and depth to them, and also creates the shades of black, white, and gray.
Like your outfit.
Like my outfit. Yeah.
And he's out of Istanbul.
He's out of Istanbul too, yeah. We'll feature him at Contemporary Istanbul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't been to that as yet, but I keep saying I'll go, and then COVID happened, and now I just don't know. I don't move around as much anymore.
Yeah,
so
it's hard.
But who's this one?
So this is a collection by Marie Tomanova, who's she's originally from Czech Republic, mm-hmm. and she's been in the States now probably about 10 years.
Yeah.
And she has gotten very well known for this collection of works that profile young people in New York City.
Yeah.
And she's actually now working on her third book. The first book had an introduction by Ryan McGinley.
Yeah.
The second one, Kim, what's her name from Sonic Youth?
Kim, I know
you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Kim. Everyone knows her from Sonic.
Everyone knows
yeah.
who she is, except now when I need to say her name.
So
but she's she did the intro to her second book, and anyway, they just sell out.
You said she's from Czech Republic?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she did a portrait of who's the big Czech
Paulina
mom?
Paulina Pereskova.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it got international acclaim because she was wearing, she was, you know, nude under like sheer lingerie.
Yeah.
And she's a 50-something-year-old former supermodel who's still got it. And people were like, oh.
Yeah.
Well,
I think
naked.
It
was
amazing. An older woman naked. Wow, they still get naked at that age?
And still look good.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it was amazing. I think that's when I first learned about her work. So
she
I'm glad you showed her.
We were getting Google alerts, you know, that she was getting press on that for mm-hmm. months and months and months. It was getting picked up like in, I don't know, Minnesota or whatever. Just like Paulina Pereskova, nude.
Yeah, no, but it's beautiful stuff. I mean, it's not as edgy as, let's say, Nan Goldin, but it has that touch of, like, the forbidden and the personal and the somewhat sexual.
She's got a really interesting process. I mean, anytime she photographs people, she spends time talking to them for a while, like mm-hmm. at least an hour or two beforehand to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, so her portraits are really, there's a lot of honesty and vulnerability mm-hmm. in her subjects because they trust her.
Mm-hmm.
She's very disarming if mm-hmm. you meet her. She's really quite just lovely.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
She's really great. So yeah, so these are part of a collection that was in her last solo show with us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I'm going to ask, because we talked about COVID a little bit.
Yes.
How did the gallery change since then? Has there been any notable changes, or has it just moved on? I know you said you've been here in 3 years.
Yeah. So literally 6 months after David and I took the role of director and manager,
mm-hmm.
the world shut down. And we were actually at the Armory show. We got in to the Armory show into one of their curated sections
mm-hmm.
and it was really a wonderful moment for the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody got COVID.
Wow.
We all got COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
World shut down and everything changed.
Yeah.
So, so I would say the main thing that happened is we sort of pared down our team. During COVID, literally it was just David and me. David was in
mm-hmm.
Berlin,
mm-hmm.
I was here in New York. We
mm-hmm.
were talking on the phone every day and trying
to
do a lot of things, but the gallery was closed for 6 months. At the end of that summer, we brought Chris on, who's our registrar, and it's really just been the three of us since then.
Right.
So we kind of got to, I would say, like a really lean, mean team.
Yeah.
We're very tightened up our operations. But we also focused a lot, as I think a lot of people did, on our online presence.
Yeah.
Because that's really all we had for the mm-hmm. time. So we, mm-hmm. you know, we show our work on Artsy, and we just made sure we had everything on there and that all of our listings were up to date and
yeah.
current. And
yeah.
and we also took a look at our website and how we were presenting things. And we, I think we also did a deep dive on a kind of a strategic plan for mm-hmm. how we wanted to move forward. Mm-hmm. And for example, David made it hit a point to say, we're going to have gender parity in our artists, because we didn't, at the time, we had more male artists than mm-hmm, females. Mm-hmm. So the next four artists that he brought on were all women.
Mm-hmm.
And we've continued to bring on more artists, some men and some women, but we're keeping it pretty balanced. And I think we have more women than men at this point. And also, I think subtly, and I don't think it was immediately apparent, but I think, like, again, for many people, I think it affected how we thought about life and art and what we're doing. And, you know, we've always had as a mission, it's always been an international art gallery.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we've had a real mission to sort of think globally about the themes and the sort of, David has that curatorial vision to start mm-hmm. with. But, you know, a lot of our themes now are very cross-cultural, and I feel like even the way that we're choosing new artists, we continue to find people from different parts of the world that we want to bring in. And
yes.
and it's kind of interesting how some of the themes of individual artists' bodies of work are crossing,
yes,
you know,
yes,
intersecting
yes,
with
yes,
other
yeah.
artists. And we seem to be developing a really interesting ethos that speaks to a deeper sense of belonging to a larger community.
Yeah, absolutely. And
yeah.
I think that's the number one word post-COVID, you know, to rebuild a community, something like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And take care of ourselves and
yes.
take care of one another. So,
yes, yes.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you might want to mention about the gallery or about mm-hmm. any artist or anything? I mean, you don't have to, but just in case there's something I didn't think of asking.
I don't think so. I think, you know, that idea that the gallery is sort of pursuing this kind of vision of creating a very diverse body of artists
mm-hmm.
and trying to represent a lot of work that's meaningful in some way, while still aesthetically, you know, beautiful or striking, right?
Right,
it's not always
right.
about beauty, but and skillful,
yeah.
you know, to keep a certain level. And it's interesting to see, you know, how, because we're not, you know, we're here, we are in the midst of, you know,
commercial Chelsea, yes.
Commercial Chelsea, we have Gagosian across
yeah,
the street,
yeah, yeah,
Pace
yeah.
around the corner,
yeah,
you know, a lot of
yeah.
blue chip galleries.
Yeah.
And we don't sell that type of work. We're not at
right.
that level,
right?
Right. So I think, you know, for us, we really look to make meaningful connections to the people who seek out art and are just in love with what they see and
right.
want to have it. That's like the ideal, that's the fun for me, is the matchmaking. It's like when it makes everybody happy.
You know, that's very funny that you said that, because also when you get to the other level, so many people are not happy, you know, whether they're buying or whatever from those galleries. It's
yeah.
like there's always something they're not happy about.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, another question I didn't ask, and I just thought of it, because,
mm-hmm.
For example, someone sent me an invite to Photographiska.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing David LaChapelle.
Yes, we just heard about that.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, are you guys working with the director's background to find more opportunities to show your artists in like, museum settings or
we
stuff
are.
Like that?
In fact, Amanda Hajar, who's the curator of the New York branch, because
mm-hmm.
you know they're all over the world, Photographiska,
mm-hmm.
She actually moderated a panel that we did with Marie
mm-hmm.
and what's her name? Karen, oh, I'm terrible with names, who works at, she teaches at ICP
mm-hmm.
and she did this beautiful, beautiful book. But anyway, yeah, we're
yeah.
connected with them. We're hoping to do some more work with them next year.
Yeah.
They're a fantastic institution
yeah.
for people who don't know about them. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they have, what is it, like three floors
yeah,
of,
yeah.
you know, and every floor is a differently curated exhibition
mm-hmm.
and they get people from all over the world, all different styles and moods. They have like a Warhol exhibition
Yes.
They do all sorts of stuff.
What was really funny, I don't know if you saw the movie about Anna Sorokin or whatever.
Yes.
That was supposedly the building that she was supposed to buy for her nonprofit.
Really?
Well, at least
was
in
it the same building?
I mean, in the television show, it looked like that building.
I wonder if that was it.
So it might be. I don't know if it's accurate, but I'm pretty sure that part isn't hard to fake. It's like there must be paperwork related to that building.
I watched that whole little series. That was a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it was fun.
It
was completely a guilty pleasure. But what was really scary was I know more than one person like that in the art world. And they haven't been arrested.
It's
an illness that I think it happens.
Yeah. Well, sociopathy
is definitely
rampant in the creative world.
And the higher you go, the more likely you go.
The worse
find
it is.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
But thank you for introducing me to the gallery and to the artist. I mean, I'm very happy to have found some new ones, and I'm sure our listeners as well will be happy to discover what's going on here at C24.
Well, thank you for coming.
Yeah.
I'm glad we had a chance to talk and have a conversation.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Nicolette.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this interview as much as I did. Speaking with Deborah brought up so many memories of my time in the art world, and also really reinforced the fact that no matter what, art will be there. So let's keep working on it. Let's keep building our community. Let's keep enjoying as much as these artists keep producing. I hope you make it over to C24 to see the current exhibition, which is up until the third week of September.